This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Lee Chui Lin. Tonight, the rising cost of living and commodities because of the war in Ukraine.
So first, we talk about the price increases we can expect to see here in the coming weeks and months, and then what solutions might work to stabilize prices.
Tell us, are you worried about the rising costs of things like food and petrol? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:07, and let's start with global oil prices, as we usually do. So those have skyrocketed to $100 a barrel, and that's the highest that it's been since 2014. And it all goes back to disruptions to Russian oil and gas supplies, leading to higher demand for non-Russian energy supplies, as well as the increase of operational costs of Malaysian power plants. So all in all, which is to say, this is going to have a serious knock-on effect on a variety of things, very directly, of course, to petrol, but also in a larger sense towards food and commodities as well.
Yeah, so we're hearing about things like the prices of corn, soybean, palm oil increasing. And according to Datuk Jeffrey Ng, who is the advisor at the Federation of Livestock Farmers Association of Malaysia, Ukraine is one of the key producers of wheat and corn, right? We know this. They control about 70% of the world market. So what this might end up doing is raise the price of chicken, because chicken feed is largely produced using these ingredients. We also rely on Russia for imported fertilizer, and this, along with the prices of natural gas rising, could affect the prices of the vegetables and fruits that we grow here. So, you know, throughout the pandemic, we've actually spent a lot of time talking about the supply chain as a whole and how something that does not seem to be directly related could in fact have this sort of knock-on effect, and we're seeing it once more. We're also seeing that, you know, it might include things like lettuce, tomatoes, long beans, okra, sawi, a lot of everyday vegetables. And aside from food, the rising prices of imported goods and commodities like construction materials, auto parts, machinery could also and are also affecting Malaysian businesses and consumers.
So if we look at really the solutions or what we can be doing or should be doing, there have been a number of suggestions put forward. At this point, I think there's still a lot of uncertainty in terms of what the government can do, particularly with the pandemic as the background, with our own economic issues as a result. Some of the suggestions that we've heard, so DAP Secretary General Lim Guan Eng, for instance, has urged the government to establish a price stabilization fund so as to cap inflation as well as the rising costs of food and commodities. We will be getting into the practicality of implementing that later with our guests, but largely not really the most popular suggestion. Multiple reasons why this may not be the way to go, but it has opened up conversations on what we can do and what we should be looking at.
Which I think is increasingly something we want to hear about, right? You know, in Popit Popit Parliament, we spoke so much earlier about the potential of fuel subsidies being more targeted, for example, not so blanket. And I think the question now is, in many ways, what kinds of changes or policy adaptations are we going to see in order to account for this sort of thing? You know, how much is this going to affect us? What are we going to be paying differently? Where's the government going to be coming in? These are all the questions that enter the picture, especially if, as you rightly point out, there's been a call for a price stabilization fund, and then everybody's like, well, that's not the way. I think what we want to find out is, okay, that being the case, what is it, right? Because we're not economists, which is why we want to talk to a couple on this hour.
So we will be addressing this with our guests. First, we'll look at the issue itself, what we can expect in terms of this rise of cost of commodities, of food and so on. We'll also look at potential solutions. We'd like to hear from you. Are you worried about the rising costs of things like food and petrol? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with political economist Ko Yu Ling. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Busy finding money. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:13. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're looking at the general rising cost of living and goods on the wake of the conflict between Ukraine and Russia and the knock-on effects globally. We'd like to hear from you. Are you worried about the rising costs of things like food and petrol? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we are now joined by Ko Yu Ling, a political economist from Sagi Anam Advisors. Yu Ling, good to have you with us as always.
Hi, Lynn. Hi, Shamila.
To start off, could you tell us about the commodities that have been most heavily impacted following the invasion?
Well, you know, if we look at the data on Ukraine, the clear thing that comes out are things like energy, food, transport, metals, even microchips. But maybe we can focus a little bit more on some of the agro commodities. So, you know, corn, seed oils, in fact, sunflower oil, also some hard, some metals like iron ore, even iron, wheat. And these were mostly selling to places like Russia, China, Germany, Poland, Italy.
And if we look at Malaysia specifically, what are some of the supply chains that tie us to the Ukraine-Russia conflict?
Well, I guess one of the most obvious things is palm oil, in fact. I mean, sunflower oil is terribly important in that country, and they basically supply into the global market. And palm oil is one of the vegetable oils. So if that is being restricted, it's not really available, then, you know, we have the situation of, 60% of these Black Sea sunflower exports being delayed because of the Russian invasion. So, you know, they were expecting, you know, millions of tons, right? You know, 8 million tons, you know, it's quite a big amount going there, coming out rather. And if this doesn't enter the global market, then, guess what? People are sort of clamoring for palm oil. And, these commodities were already going up. So end of last year, we were seeing major increases. And so this pushes it up even more pressure.
What are some of the main knock-on effects when prices fluctuate or rise?
Well, this big increase is really, I think people are at a real loss for words. I mean, end of last year, even fertilizers were up 150% on the previous year. Farmers, even though they enjoy a big increase in prices, they are facing cost pressures as well. And if you look at the food products, I mean, something that a lot of us eat, like instant meat, instant noodles, ramen, whatever you call it. The top two ingredients are wheat and palm oil. And these have gone up tremendously just because of the conflict. And, guess what? I was talking to a regional producer and they said that even they are having a real squeeze in their margins. I mean, you would have thought that food products have a good, decent margin on it, but even they are facing the situation where they said they now have to talk about price increases. And this is your, most common processed food. So that's quite a startling thing that even instant meat has to go up in price.
You maybe answered this already there, but how are industries going to adapt then to these sorts of changes in price, especially on commodities that they're dependent on? I mean, is it always going to be passed on to the consumer or might we see different sorts of adaptations?
Well, I think they have sort of been holding on for a while, but I think this is going to change a lot of things. One of the last things that they want to do is increase prices. But once it increases, and, I think everyone will remember, right, even when petrol prices go up, I mean, now Brent crude is up to 130 plus, which is, can you imagine during the COVID times, there was a time when it was even a negative price at a very strange extreme. But, it was in the sort of, 50, 60, 70 for ages, and then now it's shot up. So even transport costs can go up, and that would have already pressured, all your data rate would have gone up in price and sugar would have gone up. And then, but guess not what now, even roti canai using wheat has to go up. Price has also gone up because there's a chase for grains now. So your nasi lemak also has to go up. So many cost components have increased at the same time. So I think it's inevitable.
And how would this affect businesses and traders overall?
Well, I dare say that the consumer is now kind of really expecting this to happen. I think the government is talking about trying to help with some subsidies. But when a lot of input costs for food go up, I think they'll have to maybe even consider some targeted cash handouts over time.
Let's talk about some recent conversations about fuel, because the finance ministry has said that Putrajaya could pay up to 28 billion ringgit in subsidies for fuel if the price remains at this level. They are now also talking about more targeted subsidies, for instance. Let's talk about that amount, 28 billion. Can we afford that?
Well, that's a pretty big amount. And I think in a Malaysian situation, it's not just this subsidy. You know, they also subsidize biodiesel, which costs a lot of money. They also subsidize cooking oil prices. I think there might still be some fertilizer costs which are subsidized. So there's a whole slew of subsidies. So I think we need to look into the whole bundle of subsidies, because those are kind of been like writing blank checks. And especially against commodity price increases, I think they need to really consider which one would be more of an issue to maintain. I think even in the US, they're talking about, can we afford to subsidize biofuels when food prices go up? You know, it's a bit of an irony. In Indonesia, they have subsidized biodiesel heavily, and this actually pressures food prices up. Like palm oil has to go up because they support biodiesel. And then you have to spend more subsidies to then subsidize cooking oil. So it's like subsidies to counter the effect of other subsidies as well. So it is pretty problematic. I hope they look at it comprehensively.
So just briefly, Malaysia has yet to impose any sanctions against Russia. And the Foreign Affairs Minister said that if they aren't properly targeted, sanctions end up impacting innocent people the most. How would you respond to this? And how would sanctions affect the changes in price that we're seeing now?
Well, I think it's already impacting, really. You know, the fact that I think the EU and other places are trying to find alternative fuel sources. So, you know, I think if we've all read that gas and oil and gas and even coal from Russia is very important for the EU side. And I mean, this could actually be contributing to palm oil price increase as well, because they might be trying to, you know, keep palm oil for their fuel use. So then you have this whole issue going there. But I think sanctions are problematic, but I think a lot of the world is so shocked at the conflict. I mean, I know there's a lot of, opinions here about that, you know, there's really two sides to the story. But, you know, if I look at the corporate circles, it's very noticeable. I mean, LinkedIn, my goodness, I mean, you know, people are posting about the loss of, staff, a staff member died. We have, people who are Russians in the corporate circles are denying that this is what the Russians want. So there's a lot of voluntary sanctions, in fact, much less than formal sanctions. And maybe that's going to be really big, voluntary sanctions.
So this is a big issue, right? We're talking about essentially how world affairs are affecting the prices of things here. What measures would you like to see the government take in addressing this?
Well, I think maybe they have to consider the issue of targeted cash handouts, because, you know, a lot of our subsidy system has been quite notorious about leakages, right? I mean, is subsidized cooking oil going elsewhere? You know, could this subsidized cooking oil be going to, you know, end up in Europe or end up overseas? And these are very blanket things, which I think people have acknowledged there are problems there. And I think given the need to support consumption and the economic circumstances, which is ironic actually, because, you know, Malaysia is supposed to benefit during wars, right? I mean, we benefited during the Korean War because you supplied rubber and you know, in past tin. And now with the huge palm oil prices, that should be a big boon. But, you know, when you have these big subsidies, which might have leakages, it becomes a negative for Malaysia, which is kind of a problem, right? I mean, big oil and gas producer, big palm oil producer, but the economists are turning negative because of these need to reconcile with the huge subsidies that are there.
Are there things that ASEAN could be looking into as a bloc to reduce our reliance on other regions?
Well, you know, we've become so globalized. You know, I think the last time it was this level of globalization. I mean, I happened to study a course in Southeast Asian history. It was, you know, before the World War broke out, right? We had this, you know, Myanmar was supplying rice to you know, England, the British, you know, industrial system. And then I think things became a lot more regional because of the World War, you know, and this is how, in fact, even our rubber industry suffered, because they had to innovate and make synthetic rubber. So that affected natural rubber. So there's all sorts of repercussions from war. So I think wishing for war to continue is a really dangerous thing. And I think there is a lot of, I don't know, people are at two minds about it, from what I sense in KL. But I think they should be careful what they wish for. And we really wish that, you know, there would be more normalcy really quickly going forward. But people might rethink about regional supply chains for sure. And I think ASEAN has always been sort of, you know, at the bridge, you know, when these great powers are having war, and hopefully being able to still benefit from supplying either or both sides. That's always been the traditional position. But, you know, with this nuclear issue and this corporate, you know, really fear of what's going on, it's really uncertain times.
Yuling, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Ko Yuling, political economist from Sagienam Advisors, weighing in on the rising cost of, well, everything, it sounds like. Let us know, are you worried about the cost of things like food and petrol?
You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:37. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're looking at the rising cost of commodities and goods on the wake of the conflict between Ukraine and Russia, and the knock-on effects to the global economy as well as here in Malaysia. And earlier we looked at, we sort of understood where the problems are and what the pain points might be. Now we're moving on to looking at possible solutions, particularly as well the suggestion of a price stabilization fund. We'd like to hear from you. Are you worried about rising costs of things like food and petrol? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Before we move on to our next guest, I wanted to read out a couple of messages, starting with this one from Ro.
So Ro says, I learn something new every day, but I was surprised to hear from my chichong fan selling auntie when I asked, wow, fishball increased 50 cent. Ukraine, well, I never thought my fishballs came from Sikinchan.
Well, the thing is, Rose's message came in a little bit earlier. And while we were still listening to our guest, Yuling did mention the price of noodles, for instance, going up. So I don't know. I mean, there might be some connection between Sikinchan fishballs, chichong fan noodles and Ukraine.
I mean, maybe the fishballs are increasing to accommodate for the rising cost of rice flour that is making your chichong fan. You know, there are all these mm-hmm. different things, right? It doesn't necessarily have to rest in Sikinchan alone. I think that the instant noodle thing was very interesting to me in discussing it earlier, because the issue of wheat is one that has come up a whole bunch because of both Russia and Ukraine's involvement in that sector, because they're both really massive suppliers of it. And I thought about bread without necessarily considering that, of course, you know, absolutely, in terms of noodles, this is something that we're going to see, and the grains as a whole.
Mm. We have Marnaidu saying, I'm already worried about underpay. With what economists are projecting, it sounds like there is no coming back unless our politicians start taking their job seriously. We're producing high numbers of graduates. It wouldn't be hard to start producing our own supply chain and slowly become an export business. We're already doing that for palm oil, crude oil and rubber. If we keep on seeing the starting of our own supply chain, it will incur higher OPEX and a low margin. I'm afraid living in Malaysia might not be a very attractive option anymore.
Yeah, I guess it's interesting, right, to see the progression of worry from cost of living all the way to maybe leaving. I will say, though, that this is a worldwide issue. I'm not necessarily certain that I've seen any difference in terms of the cost of living elsewhere, although the cost of earning is different. And I think that perhaps is where this is coming from.
And something that, again, Yuleng said earlier comes to mind, right? This idea of us starting our own supply chain. I think we've moved past the point where we can no longer be reliant. We are so interlinked with so many other economies. Pulling back from that, I don't think is as easy as it might look on paper. Do keep those thoughts coming. Are you worried about the rising costs of things like food or petrol? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we're joined by Dr. Shankaran Nambiar, who is head of research at the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Nambiar. Now, former Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng has suggested the introduction of a price stabilization fund. What can you tell us about how this would work and why it's being asked for?
I think the intentions of the former finance minister are valid. I mean, he's got probably a good suggestion, which is aimed at stabilizing the fluctuation in prices, trying to put a cap on inflation. But I have a little bit of a problem with it because it implies some intervention on the part of the government. And I think it's also something that is perhaps a good thing when there's lots of price volatility. So the government gets into the market and either it provides loans or it stocks up excess inventory and then it releases it. So there are a number of ways in which this fund could work, but the basic principle would be the intervention of the government in stabilizing prices. It's probably something that might work in the short run, but I think I would prefer something that is more market-oriented. I also wonder how useful a fund of this sort would be, how useful, how relevant it would be, given the fact that this is probably going to be a slightly long drawn out issue. I think we can't rule that the possibility of a price has been high for some time. Initially, it was COVID and the disruption of supply chains, issues related with logistics situation. We can't rule out the possibility of an additional wave. The other thing is the, of course, geopolitical situation. So given the kinds of risks that we have, I would be reluctant to use a price stabilization fund.
Now, as a measure to do what its name says, stabilize prices, would it be effective?
I think that there would be a cost to it, given the fact that it's interventionist in nature. Would it be effective? I probably think we should explore other ways which might be more effective. Now, for instance, we see the price of vegetables, etc., rising. We should be looking, for instance, at food security, what we can do to increase production domestically. So I think rather than a quick fix, we should be looking at issues that might, we should be looking at solutions which we could put in place now. And the other thing is, of course, the oil hikes. There, I think, must come a time. It is, of course, possible to offer subsidies to act as a buffer for the price hike in oil prices. But I don't know how sustainable and for how long we can keep extending these measures, given the kind of fiscal space, the kind of limited fiscal space that we have. I think we should gradually move into a state where the subsidies are limited, or we find more targeted mechanisms to ensure that they reach very specific groups. And that, of course, will cut the cost that the government would have to bear.
So when it comes to contending with price hikes, how far into the future should we be planning for?
It's hard to say how the Russia-Ukraine problem would roll out and what the aftermath to this conflict would be and the kind of repercussions it would have in terms of sanctions, etc., changed views from the side of EU, US, etc. So given the complexity of issues that are involved and the nature of the conflict, I think as a policy device, we should think in terms, or at least plan in terms, of what needs to be done over a perhaps 1 year timeline. It is possible that the issue might be resolved sooner, but I think for planning purposes, we should have something like a 9 months, a year as kind of a contingency to work towards.
And notwithstanding the war in Ukraine and how it may affect us, what other factors might contribute to price instability over this year?
I think the COVID, the lockdown, by and large, having passed, I would think on the brighter side that perhaps the war against the pandemic has been fought and perhaps in a better position as it we enter into the endemic stage. But then there is, of course, Ukraine, Russia, Ukraine, and what arises out of it. It wouldn't just affect oil prices. Would also affect the prices of other commodities such as wheat, etc. But it could also have repercussions on financial markets. And one really doesn't know how the sanctions would apply and what kind of retaliatory measures might be taken against these sanctions. There are several factors that could contribute to price instability.
So what are some long-term solutions we can look to when it comes to mitigating rising prices?
I think there are some issues that we don't have much of a handle over. For instance, we won't be able to control conflicts. But for instance, I mean, we've recently seen the floods and there have been heavy rains recently. This could arise again, but it requires a more holistic approach. And we have to come to terms with the fact that there are climate change issues, there are flood mitigation issues that have to be looked into, because otherwise you would find a fairly long protracted period over which these problems, the climatic changes, etc., would affect rising prices. And I think, what are we doing? Something that can be done to modernize agriculture. What kind of a policy are we going to take with regard to oil prices?
We're speaking with Dr. Shankaran Nambiar, Head of Research at the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research. We'll continue our conversation after this, but do keep sending your thoughts our way. Are you worried about the rising cost of things like food and petrol? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:51. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn, and we're talking about potential solutions, ways to manage the rising cost of goods and commodities in the wake of the war in Ukraine. And we'd like to hear from you. Are you worried about the rising cost of things like food and petrol? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Shankaran Nambiar, Head of Research at the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research. Dr. Nambiar, thanks for staying on the line with us. Now, it's often been pointed out that Malaysia has an abundance of natural resources. So why has it been a challenge for us to capitalize on this to establish food security and stable prices?
I think the question of food security, I think, and agriculture as a whole, I think it's largely a neglected issue. And like a number of other issues that we have neglected, public health, social support mechanisms, social safety nets, food security. The pandemic and what's happened after that forces us to relook these issues. And now is the best time. to do that. Also, we've in better times when we have had adequate fiscal resources, we could have resorted more easily to more readily to subsidies. I think that again, our view of subsidies and when we introduce subsidies and to what extent will also have to be reconsidered. So these are, I think, yes. So although we do have an abundance of natural resources, the point of view that we are going to take will have to change. We haven't really, I suppose, capitalized, taken advantage of our resources. And yes, now is the best time to do it.
Now, how susceptible is the Malaysian economy to the rising prices of oil at this moment?
I should think fairly susceptible. The prices of oil have increased dramatically. I wouldn't be surprised if it touches $150. And that will, of course, have its implications, and it will run right through the economy, because oil is obviously an input into the production of so many other commodities. And of course, it's going to affect the cost of transportation, all of which is going to be passed over to the consumer. Earlier on, saw that the consumer price index went up, and a big contributor to that was, of course, transport costs. So I think the susceptibility to the rising prices of oil is real. The extent might not be tremendous, but I think it would be cumulative, and we need to be prepared as to how we are going to handle the issue.
So overall then, has the government done enough to stabilize the prices of everyday goods and commodities?
I think the government has undertaken a number of measures. It's done the usual stuff, which is controlling prices. But I think there are other aspects that need to be looked at. For instance, the kind of role that the kind of effect that you have as a consequence of monopolistic practices, what can be done to control these forces or these monopolistic tendencies. So, yes, I think more attention has also to go into these issues, aside from, as we usually do, trying to hand out subsidies and maintain price caps.
Dr. Nambia, any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
I think that this is a structural issue, and I think we need to look at it on a long-term basis. Some of the solutions sort of suggest themselves. For instance, on the flood part, the climatic changes, etc. These are problems, of course, that need to be resolved on a longer-term kind of basis. And it should be treated as such, rather than trying to look at stopgap measures for flood mitigation, trying to make withdrawals from EPF, for instance, as a solution. Because this seems to be, the floods, for instance, seem to be recurring. Also, what can be done about the structure of the economy? How much importance do we have to place on agriculture? And long forgotten issue, food security. These are some of the issues that have got to come back to center stage. And I think rather than stressing the point that we need growth and more growth and even more growth, I think we need to look at go back to basics and look at these fundamental issues. What are we doing about climate change? What are we doing about food security? So I think really the idea now should be to go back to basics and look at longer term solutions rather than at quick fixes.
Dr. Nambiar, thanks for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Shankaran Nambiar, head of research at the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research, weighing in on potential solutions, ways forward as we contend with the rising price of goods and commodities on the wake of, the war in Ukraine, but also 2 years of a pandemic. So let us know, are you worried about the rising costs of things like food and petrol? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. You've been listening to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.